As we all know, last week was the last Sunday in the year 2023. And obviously, this is the first Sunday in 2024. It is good for us to be in the house of the Lord on the very first Sunday of the year. Last week, you may remember, we were taking a look at Saul, a man by the name of Saul, and his journey. And he was appearing, when he changed his name to Paul, to King Agrippa. Now, King Agrippa was the last king in Judea, but he was also the grandson of Herod the Great. Kind of an interesting family history that's there, most of which we really don't want to know anything about. Paul's experience was a grand opportunity for him to not only present his situation to King Herod, but also to share his testimony. He was ready, willing, and able to share with King Agrippa and his court and everyone else who was there his testimony. You might say, I wonder if we ever have an opportunity to share our testimony. What is our testimony? Our testimony is simply this. What has Jesus done for you? What does Jesus mean to you? So you and I can share with others who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he's done for me personally. And in order for you and me to say to others, did you know that Jesus loves you? Did you know that he died on the cross for you? He died on the cross for me and paid for my sin, and he can do the same for you. Sharing the message, the gospel message, with other people is very simple. Although, you know, it's a strange thing. Even though it's simple for us to do, sometimes it's very difficult for us to do. And another strange thing that I've found over the years is sharing the love of Jesus and the knowledge about Jesus and what he's done for me with my family is more difficult than with other people. I don't know why that is, but it often is. So as we begin this first Sunday in 2024, it is wise for us to copy Paul in this area. Do you remember that last week we talked about Paul looking to God for his help? He would receive his help. He knew that God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, was the source of his help. None other than Jesus. Now, here's something very important for you and me to remember. We know who Jesus is, the Son of God. He was God in human form here on earth. And we sang about it this morning. He was involved in creating everything. Jesus was involved in creating everything. And this is really amazing to some people. And there's something else we need to know about Jesus. And there is no one higher, no one greater, no one more powerful, and no one with more authority than Jesus. And this is the one to whom we have committed our trust, the one in whom we believe, that he indeed paid the price for our sin on the cross, and that he's come into our life, and he's in the process of making you and me the kind of people he would like us to be. We are part of Christ's body. We are his church, and his Holy Spirit is alive, active, and well within every believer, and always he's drawing us to Jesus. As I look at the hymns that we were able to sing this morning, oh, worship the King. Jesus is our King. And then we were able to sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus and face to face with Jesus, and thou art worthy, and I sing because I'm happy. All of these songs that we were able to sing this morning all are pointing us to Jesus and the immense influence he has on your life and on mine. We know that this man by the name of Saul was the great persecutor of Christians. He was going throughout the known world at that time, and he had one intention in mind, and that was to denounce Jesus in every single way and to get rid of the Christians. That was his mission, and he was on his way to Damascus. I said last week, I say again this week, I'm intrigued that Damascus is so much in the news today. The scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, that there's going to be a complete destruction of the city of Damascus. That hasn't happened yet, hasn't happened all down through the years, but it is going to happen. And the way the war seems to be going in the Middle East at the moment, I would not be surprised if it happens any time now. It's prophesied in scripture. It is going to happen. We just don't know exactly when. But here was Saul, the persecutor of Christians, heading out to Damascus. And on his way to Damascus, he experienced Jesus. What a marvelous experience that was been. And Paul was no longer the persecutor of Christians. He was now the proclaimer of the gospel, the proclaimer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in looking at the life of Paul, as we find in Scripture, we discover that in every situation, any circumstance, whatever the situation was, he did his best to share Jesus Christ. Let us hear now the word of God as we find in Acts chapter 26, verses 19 to 23. Acts 26, verses 19 to 23. The words will be on the screen, but if you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1108. Let us hear the word of God. "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. This is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. That is, the Christ would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can see the opportunity that Paul took to present his message to King Agrippa. We discover this was a very real experience that Paul had when he was caught in a blinding light. And in his mind, he said the light was brighter than the sun. It's hard for you and me to imagine that the light could be brighter than the sun. But here was the very presence of God himself, the presence of Jesus in all his glory, and Paul experienced that light. And we discover that this revelation to Saul by none other than Jesus himself was a visible experience, a forcible experience, an audible experience, and a credible experience. All of his experiences very real. He was almost able to reach out and touch them, and that's what it was. And this experience completely changed Saul's life. After that, Saul changed his name to Paul. And it was some years later, after his conversion, that he was now presenting himself before King Agrippa. It was so dramatic, this experience, that it completely changed Paul's life. Completely changed it. No longer was he persecuting Christians, but he was presenting the opportunity to proclaim the gospel so that other peoples, Jew and Gentile alike, would be able to come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, come to know him in a very personal way. You and I know that Jesus died for the whole world, for the sins of every person in the whole world. But what we need to do is personalize this experience like Paul did or like Saul did. We need to personalize it and realize that not only did Jesus die for the sins of people throughout the world of all ages, but he died for me. He died for me and he paid for my sin, past, present, and future. And that's when we personalize the experience of Jesus. We know that Paul looked to the Lord Jesus as the source of his help. But also this morning we are going to look at this experience that Paul had with Jesus on an ongoing basis as the secret of this help. So let's look again at verse 22, the first part. "But I have had God's help to this very day." I'm just going to pause there. "I have had God's help to this very day." This day was the day that he appeared before King Agrippa, which, of course, was a number of years after his conversion. So he is presenting the message to King Agrippa. And then he says, "And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike." In other words, people of all stations of life, the elite in the court of King Agrippa, and those who were at the very low part. He was speaking to all of them, and believe me, they were listening to him. we notice that he said, God's help. Now, the King James Version renders this slightly differently. And the King James Version says, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day, I stand here and testify to small and great alike. This word is having obtained. The word obtained means that we reach out or we get. Now, if you think about it for a moment, if we've obtained something, at some point we didn't have it, and then we obtained it, then we are able to reach out and we're able to get it. So Paul says, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand here and testify to the small and great alike. And then we find this in Paul's second letter to Timothy. He said, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. One time they didn't have salvation, then they had salvation. They were able to obtain salvation. They were able to receive this power. It came to them, they reached out, God reached out to them, they obtained the salvation which is due to all. There are people who don't have salvation. Now, I pray that everyone in this congregation, some have been coming for years and years and years, praise be to God, but I pray that you have obtained salvation. And the only way in which you obtain it is by placing your trust in Jesus Christ as Lord. You and I have no idea when the Lord is going to call us home, when the end of our life here on earth occurs. We don't know when that's going to happen. It could happen at any moment. And therefore, when we know this, we need to know where we're going to go. And you know, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to not plan ahead for what's in the future. And the future is our eternity. And you and I need to know where we're going to go in eternity. Someday, when we pass through the portal of death, we're going to go out into eternity. We're going to go out into eternity either with Jesus or without him. With him is far better than being without him. In fact, without him, we're going to be in hell for all eternity. It's hard for us to comprehend what that would be, but nonetheless, it is true. And therefore, I don't know, Pastor Nate or I may be called upon at some point to conduct your funeral or he conduct mine, whatever the story may be. Whenever we go, we need to know that the people who have died have known Christ as Savior. So I pray that you have put all your trust in Jesus and you are following him and you are relying upon him as the source of your help and the secret of your help, and you turn to him every single day. It's not good enough just to come to church on Sunday, but we all know that. We know that we need to have an experience with Jesus day by day and hour by hour. So what we discover about this, in this word obtained, it sort of gives us two fundamental thoughts. What are these thoughts? Number one, there is the despondency of faith, and then there is the dependency of faith. Despondency of faith, no faith, dependency of faith when we have faith. The despondency of faith. Paul obtained or had God's help. While Jesus reached out to Saul on the road to Damascus, once Saul placed his full trust in Jesus as its Savior, he sort of reached out. God reached out to him. Jesus reached out to him. And Paul obtained salvation. He obtained this faith that he didn't have beforehand. This was a wonderful, dramatic experience that happened to him. When we seek help, now when we seek help, it means that we need help. And when we need help, we always reach out to someone else to give us the help. It may be a family member, it may be a friend, it may be an acquaintance. But when we look at eternal things, we reach out to God himself through Jesus Christ. And we obtain salvation because we reached out to him and he has come into our life. I remember the story of a lad who fell off a cliff. And when he went off the cliff, he landed on a ledge. But there was no way for him to get up. This was long before fire and rescue came along. And someone sent for his dad. And his dad knew where he was, and he got a rope, a long rope, good sturdy rope, and he took the rope to the edge of the cliff, and he threw it over, holding on to one end, and he told his boy how to put the rope around him, and then he would haul him up. And so he did, and the boy was rescued. After the boy was rescued, someone asked the lad if he was scared of using the rope to get up the cliff. And he said, not at all, because my dad held the other end of the rope. He put his complete trust in his dad. He knew that his dad was going to keep him safe and pull him up and look after him. You think about it, that's what God the Father did. He sent Jesus, and Jesus came to pull us up. Jesus came to reach out to you and to me. The lad put his trust in the Father, his Father. You and I need to put all of our trust in Jesus. In the Old Testament, we read of King David, many exploits of King David. We know that he was a shepherd boy. He looked after sheep. We know that he killed both lion and bear. We know that even as a teenager, he was called upon and was in the army, so to speak, and he killed Goliath, the giant. And then we know that he became the king of all Israel. Not only was David the king, and not only was he a shepherd, not just a shepherd of sheep, but a shepherd of the nation of Israel, but he also a writer of the Psalms. And one of the Psalms he wrote was Psalm 42. And he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mire, mud and mire. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Now try and picture this in your mind for a moment. Picture a person in a slimy, miry pit and can't get out. And then someone lifts you out of the pit and puts you on a solid rock. That's why Jesus is known as the rock of my salvation. We put our trust in Jesus, the solid rock. This is what David is referring to. Now, I believe that there are times in your life and in mine when we get into a great pit of despair of some nature. I don't know what might cause it. It might be mental, it might be physical, it might be spiritual, it might be financial. Whatever it is, we get in a pit of despair. It's like being in quicksand. The more we move around about in it, the more we're sucked into it, and it's very difficult for us to get out. And then there's only one way out, and that way out is to look to Jesus. And Jesus will pick us up out of that deep, murky, miry clay and put us on a solid rock, the solid rock of his foundation. Quite a number of weeks ago, Pastor Nate, in one of his messages, he said, remember this, we are to go to the throne, not to the fawn. Now that's a good statement, I never heard it before. Go to the throne, not to the fawn. Even believers sometimes will often go to the fawn and tell other people their troubles or difficulties or why they are in this miry clay and this pit of despair. But what they really need to do, what we really need to do, is not go to the phone and talk to someone else, not to even talk to others in church about it, but to go to the throne and to talk to the Lord first. I'm going to share with you a story that appeared in the Daily Bread a number of years ago. A Chinese man needed to be saved. He told of his conversion in these words. He said, I was fallen into the deep pit of sin. I was sinking in the mire. I called for help. Along came Confucius, and I implored him to reach down and help me. He, however, proceeded calmly to instruct me on right living. He passed on. He could not save me. That was Confucius. Seeking deeper, I cried, help me, help me now. Looking up, I saw Buddha. He began to preach to me. He said, my son, be quiet, be patient, retire to the inward calm and center of your heart. There you will find Nirvana, eternal rest. He too passed on. He was of no help. I was ready to sink in despair. Looking up again, however, I saw one who said, my child, I have come to save you. Will you let me? Crying out, I said, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Getting down to the pit, this man, he put his arms about me and lifted me up. He told me his name was Jesus. I fell at his feet and I said, Lord, from now on, I will follow you. In a pit of despair, Jesus brings us out. People will give us lots of philosophy, but Jesus, the one who reaches down, puts his arms around me, and lifts us out. Praise be to God. That's the despondency of faith. When we don't have faith as the undergirding of our foundation of faith, we need to have faith. Then comes the dependency of faith. The obtaining of help from our Lord God Almighty, it's reaching out to him. This is what Paul did. Let us ever keep these words in mind. Despondency leads to dependency. Despondency is discouragement. It's hopelessness. It's helplessness. We reach that point, and then despondency leads to dependency. And this consistent dependency is the essence of the Christian faith, the Christian walk. We walk the talk. We walk the walk and talk the talk. Paul sums it up this way. Now, this is Paul's summary, but this is a wonderful and marvelous summary for you and for me. It's something that you and I can keep in mind. When we have our days of depression, our moments of discouragement, if you will, our moments of despondency, look to this passage of Scripture. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. Can you say that? Can you, deep in your heart and soul, say, I have been crucified with Christ, he died on my behalf, and no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, not in anyone else, by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Never forget that the Lord Jesus, God in human form, came to this earth and died for you. He died for me. In this verse, we discover the secret of the dependency of faith. After all, Jesus lived this way in complete faith. Paul lived this way. You and I must live this way. Once you and I experience the help of God, our constant song ought to be trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Now, this is hymn number 355 in the hymn book. I'm going to invite our musicians to come to their instruments, and I'm going to invite that we sing together this hymn. But as we sing together the hymn, I want to point out the words. Sometimes we sing, and when we sing the words, we just sing them, and that's it. However, if we read them, it seems to have a deeper meaning. Listen to these words of the verse. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Maybe you're going to have a stormy way, but trusting is the word. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth his Spirit shine in this poor heart of mine. While he leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the path is drear. If in danger, for him call. Trusting Jesus, that is all. And then finally, trusting him while life shall last, trusting him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Now you look at the progression of this hymn, and it begins by simply trusting him every day, even through the stormy way. This is what you and I need to do to live the Christian life, is trusting Jesus day by day, hour by hour, and moment by moment. So we're going to remain seated, but let us sing this hymn together.
Mm-hmm.
Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whate'er befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this heart of mine. While He leads, I cannot fall. That is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whate'er befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing if my way is clear, praying if the way be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whate'er befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whate'er befall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Amen and praise be to God. On this, the very first Sunday of 2024, it's somewhat customary for people on the first Sunday to look ahead. Frankly, not one of us really knows what's going on in the future. We just don't know. But as someone said a long time ago, I may not know the future, but I know who holds the future in His hands. And this is our beloved Savior, Jesus. Our God is a faithful God. He is absolutely supreme. Nothing happens on this earth. Nothing happens in your life or in mine that He doesn't know about. He knows all about it. And you and I need to continue to put our trust in Him, that He will lead us, that He will direct us, and that He will give us the grace to follow His leading. During this coming month and year, who knows what kind of ups and downs you're going to have, I'm going to have. We don't know. But what I do know is I'm putting my trust in Jesus. I pray that you are. As we gather around the communion table this morning, we're going to participate in the Lord's Supper on this, the first Sunday of a new year. Let us be thankful that whatever despondency we have in our life, we can depend upon Jesus, and He is going to lift us up out of the miry clay and put us on the solid rock, the foundation stone, Jesus Christ Himself. Our Father, we praise You, we love You, we thank You. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for being our Savior and the Lord of our life. An example, yes, but the Lord of our life. May all who are present this day, all who can hear the sound of my voice, put their complete trust in you, Lord Jesus, as Savior and Lord. This we ask in your precious name. Amen.